Everyone knows Law Matters was created to open the lines of communication between law enforcement and the community. Over the course of the last year, we have become painfully aware of the very negative headlines national media projected across the country regarding all law enforcement agencies. Over the last several months, and after numerous investigations, we have learned that these negative headlines did not tell the whole story, but rather painted a picture designed to diminish the rule of law and those whose job it is to enforce it. Law Matters wants you to hear all the facts so you can decide for yourself. As these investigations conclude, these stories will be featured on our Truth Matters page on lawmatters1030.org website. Now, let's start the show.
Good morning, everybody out there. You are listening to Law Matters on 1030 The Voice, KVOI Tucson. My name is Brian Watson. I'm a special agent and public information officer with IRS Criminal Investigation. I am filling in at the last minute for our amazing host, Sherry Harrison. She will not be here today. She will be back next week. So she's left the show in my hands. Hopefully I do it well. And thank you, Sherry, for the opportunity. I also want to thank John, our engineer. He's working his magic behind the glass. We're not here without John. So thank you very much. And today we will take questions. If you want to call 520-790-2040, we will take your questions online today. So Sherry does an amazing job with this show. She gets the best guests, especially in the law enforcement community. Today is no exception. Today I have two police officers with the Tucson Police Department. We have Captain Doug Foster with the Central Investigations Division. He's been with the department for 22 years. And we also have Captain Colin King with the Administrative Resources Division, 20 years with TPD. Gentlemen, welcome to KVOI The Voice.
Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate it.
All right, Captain King, we're going to start with you. Can you just talk a little bit about yourself and your current assignment with TPD?
Sure. Good morning. My name is Colin King. I've been, like you said, with Tucson Police for about 20 years. Done a wide variety of assignments, but most recently I've been assigned to our Administrative Resources Division, which encompasses, you know, a lot of the back end areas of the department that really, you know, we couldn't do our jobs without the men and women that work in these areas. One of those important areas is human resources. So we do all of the hiring, retention, recruiting for all public safety positions in the department, not just the sworn members, but we're also constantly looking for folks who want to serve the public in a variety of ways.
Captain Foster, same question. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your current assignment with the department.
Sure. Thanks, Brian. This year actually marks my 25th year as a police officer here in the Tucson area. I started my career with the University of Arizona Police Department while I was finishing up my master's over there. And when I graduated back in 2000, I made the quick transition over to the city as a lateral officer. So I've been here for 22 years, and like Colin, I've served in a number of assignments over the years. That's kind of one of the cool things about this job is that you can have a new job every couple of years, and we can talk about that a little bit more when we talk about people's interest in this profession and kind of what drew me to it. But currently, I am a captain assigned to the Central Investigations Division, and that encompasses most of our felony investigations over a few different sections. I've got the violent crime section, I've got special victims, and our special investigation section. I know part of what we want to talk about today is homicide here in Tucson, specifically our homicide clearance rate. So in that violent crime section, I do have our homicide unit, our aggravated assault unit, robbery, and those types of violent crime units, including domestic violence.
Why did you guys choose to go into law enforcement?
Well, I'll start that then. I'm a wildcat. I was at the U of A studying international relations, political science, and I was actually on the track to become a diplomat. So I was studying abroad and working internationally. And a friend of mine worked for the Tucson Police Department. We ended up hooking up to do a ride-along. And one ride-along led to 5 ride-alongs, led to 10 ride-alongs. And what really attracted me to the position, you know, I fell in love, and I haven't looked back in 20 years, and I still love it each day. I love coming to work. What really attracted me to this job is partially what Doug was just saying. Your day is never the same, you know, twice. And so there's a wide variety of assignments. I did not like sitting behind a desk. I liked being out in the public. I liked driving around. So I really fell in love with the job itself and, you know, all of the activities that you could do as a police officer. And like I said, I haven't looked back since then.
Yeah, I've kind of had a long and winding road to get here, but my first real interest in the assignment was as a high schooler. Back in my days, I grew up in Chandler, Arizona, and went to high school there, and actually got recruited by the Chandler Police Department to be a what they called a peer mentor for, if anybody remembers the DARE program back in the day. And I was kind of that kid back then that was an athlete and a good in my academics and everything. And I got recruited to go and talk to kids in the elementary schools about keeping out of trouble and keeping their grades up and staying on the straight path and all of that. But it was really the mentoring of that Chandler police officer that opened my eyes to the opportunities in law enforcement beyond the badge and the gun. And I went on a couple ride-alongs and fell in love with the whole vibe of the job and everything. My dad had done some time as a police officer with Chandler back in the late 60s before he went into the Navy, and so I had those stories. And so anyway, like I say, it took me a while to figure out that this was where I wanted to be. Like Colin, I was studying at the University of Arizona. I was looking at federal job opportunities, getting my master's degree. I was in process with, back then, INS and FBI. But I really got recruited to be a police officer by a few people there at the university. And then once I was at the University Police Department, I got recruited to come over to TPD. And like I say, I can't imagine having done anything differently. It's been the best career for the last 25 years, and look forward to a few more here.
Did either of you grow up watching police shows on TV? And if so, were there ones you really liked to watch?
Probably dating both of us. I think my hair is a little grayer than Colin's, but I go back all the way to Adam 12 and those types of shows, and Chips and those types of police shows from back in the 70s and 80s that I was drawn to. But I remember sitting there and watching Hill Street Blues with my dad, and even shows like Barney Miller, and for whatever reason my family tended to be drawn to some of those old time cop shows. I don't know if it's the same these days, because I think once you get into the profession, you maybe look at those shows a little differently.
Well, I'm going to ask which one's most accurate in a second, but I watched a lot of those same shows. I watched Chips and T.J. Hooker. Hill Street Blues was on a little too late. That was on, I think, one of those 10 o'clock shows, so I had to go to bed. We have two new guys at our office, and we actually nicknamed them Ponch and John, and they had no idea what it meant. They had to go and look it up. But talking about the law enforcement, my mom did not like me watching Dukes of Hazzard because of the disrespect for law enforcement. They made Roscoe look kind of like a buffoon. I mean, that was part of the show. But I grew up in a household where there was a huge respect for law enforcement. So, Captain King, what shows did you watch?
Yeah, I think it came on a little bit too late for some of the shows Doug just mentioned. But I think, one of the ones that definitely stood out is Law and Order and those, the offshoots of those shows, which is kind of a double-edged sword for us, right? Very entertaining, but not exactly accurate, right? You were talking about the accuracy of shows. And
why is it not accurate?
So, we have this I guess we could say it's kind of a funny term, but it's the CSI effect, right? So people are watching these shows and thinking, okay, that's exactly how it's done. So they expect the police department to go and in 5 minutes be able to run, a DNA sample and be able to identify a suspect almost immediately, right? And that's not always the case in our investigations. And so some of the work that we do, while it's very entertaining, when we're dealing with some of these investigations or when we're in court, the juries are expecting to see that kind of result because of the TV shows that they're watching and being able to see, were we able to just dust for fingerprints out of thin air and find, the needle in the haystack. And so sometimes it's overcoming those expectations, which aren't really real. So super entertaining shows, but not necessarily accurate in what we do.
Law and Order, it's a great show. The thing that bothers me about it is their search warrant seemed to take about 10 minutes.
Right.
Where at my agency, our search warrants can take all day and all night. And then they also seem to get financial records within like a day. Whereas anybody that's worked a financial case know it takes weeks or months to get records from the bank. But hey, it's TV. It can't be real. So on a recent episode of Law Matters, we spoke to Chief Kazmar with the Tucson Police Department and began to talk a little bit about TPD's success with a homicide solve rate much higher than the national average. So what is the national rate of solving homicides, and what is the rate in Tucson?
Well, if you look around the country right now, the by and large, the number that's widely accepted is about 50% on the solve rate on average across law enforcement agencies across the country. Here in Arizona, we've got a couple of great examples ourselves in Phoenix that are running more up in the currently we're just over, I think, 85% year to date for 2022 on our solved homicides.
And why do you think you are having a higher success here in Tucson and or Phoenix when it comes to solving these murders compared to the national average?
Well, I think it's interesting, and there's a lot of articles out there. If you do a quick Google search on the homicide solve rate, there's a lot of theories on why it's happening and what's causing agencies to have issues with that. Some of those things might have to do with, bad data from back in the day or the way that we've changed the way we do policing in terms of getting more into constitutional policing and things like that. Also looking at the fact that more homicides these days at an increasing rate are involving guns. Gun crimes can sometimes be more difficult to solve because of, distance from people, lack of witnesses, these types of things. Also, technology is playing a part in it, and maybe some agencies aren't leveraging technology quite like we in Phoenix are. But I think the biggest thing, and I think what we have a great success here in Tucson, is because of the partnerships that we have with our community. When you look at some of the communities across the country that are having real issues in terms of not having the higher homicide solve rates is because of the lack of trust and transparency within some of those communities. And with that, you get, an unwillingness of sometimes communities to partner and share information and stuff to help departments solve some of those homicides. Here in Tucson, I think that by and large, we have a great relationship with our community. We've got great transparency in terms of, what we're doing, how we're doing it. And in turn, we've got a community that's very willing to help make their community safe for their children, for their family, for the neighborhood. And they aren't going to stand for this violence. And they are more willing to share information with a department that they can trust.
For those of you who have tuned in since the show started, you are listening to Law Matters on 1030 The Voice. Our two guests today with the Tucson Police Department are Captain Doug Foster and Captain Colin King. Now, you mentioned technology. The one thing I've noticed just watching television news is it seems like a lot of crimes are caught on, in the old days, it would be surveillance cameras, only it's like at a Circle K. But now it seems like everyone's got the doorbell ring or other Nest or whatever, and they're catching, porch pirates or catching shootings or things like that. Is that the type of technology you're talking about?
There's all sorts of technology that we've been able to leverage in terms of, helping solve all types of crime across my division and on all our investigative matters. But in particular, yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned the ring cameras or those types of cameras that people have. And it's not something that we can just go and tap into that ring camera system. It's based on the willingness of the owner of that camera to share that information with the police department. And it's amazing how much people want to share what is, in effect, evidence with us of crimes in order to, bring people to justice. And yes, so with the proliferation of cameras throughout society, be it with, standard surveillance cameras, security at businesses and things like that, the ease of access to ring cameras for $99 on Amazon or what have you,
right.
That's really helped us out in terms of being able to help solve crime.
The, one of the things with my agency, we're mostly dealing with financial crimes, and there is some violent aspect to it. But even with our financial crimes, people are nervous to talk to us because they're worried about retribution. And I hear it all the time. I've never actually seen any retribution in my 27 years. How do you get people to cooperate when they're worried? You're investigating a homicide. So obviously this person is capable of violence, has done it. How do you get people to talk when they're feared for their own life and their family's life and their property?
And like you say, I think that the issues of retribution and what have you are few and far between. Emphasizing that, but just emphasizing that with their help, we can help to rid their community of that potential danger or what have you, and only with their cooperation are we going to be able to put a stop to those violent acts, and just reemphasizing the trust and the transparency in how we do business in order to garner that cooperation and collaboration.
All right. You guys have mentioned the staffing issues that TPD and many agencies across the nation are facing, to include the areas of recruiting and retention. How does this notion of community partnership and trust play into that?
Yeah, well, I'll kick that part off. You know, we do, there are a lot of parallels, right? So if the community trusts the police department enough to, you know, make reports, to assist with investigations, the parallel from that is, you know, they also potentially want to be part of that solution, right? So they feel comfortable enough in interacting and working with the police department, and understand that's an intentional act, right? I mean, that's an ongoing committed dialogue that we have to have with our community. It's not a one day, you know, coffee with a cop type situation. While that's fun and that's great, that's not, you know, the root of the matter. And it has to be an ongoing, continuing discussion and an investment in each other, really, is what it is. So part of that is our challenge now. And we're certainly not alone in having hiring challenges and staffing challenges. So what we're trying to do, and I think we're having some pretty interesting successes, is to make sure that, you know, people in the community can see themselves in their police department, right? Representation matters, and that's not just a slogan. I mean, it really does. If you could see yourself working in a police department in some capacity, you say, well, that, maybe I could do this job. So one of our big pushes is, yes, we need sworn officers. And in fact, we have a police officer recruit process open right now. So I could give you the email address for that. It basically, I'm sorry, the website address for that, which would be super great to have folks go visit. It's www.jointucsonpd.org. Again, www.jointucsonpd.org. And that has a list of all of the jobs that we're hiring for. So when I say public safety, that means, you know, serving in any capacity that you feel comfortable doing. So that could be a sworn officer, like I mentioned, that's open. It'll close January 9th. We hire for CSOs, or our community service officers. Those are the non-sworn members who are out, you know, essentially helping and remaining the backbone of our patrol division with our sworn officers. We hire for record staff, investigators, I'm sorry, evidence techs that go out to the scenes and help the investigators. So all kinds of jobs. And then even greater than that, we have a public safety push for recruiting. So maybe you don't want to work for the police department, but you're really interested in fighting fires. Well, we're all working together as a city to find the right person to put the right work in the right hands. So you could work in communications, for example, it's its own department, or fire, or the police department. We're all coordinating and collaborating with our city partners to get the right people in there.
You know, Brian, I think also in terms of that community trust and collaboration and partnerships when it comes to our staffing, you know, a department, like Colin said, should be really be a reflection of the community that department's serving, and an extension of that community, and should be made up of community members. You know, I have chosen for the last, you know, 33 years since I originally graduated U of A to be a citizen of the city of Tucson. And I not only, you know, serve as a police officer for our agency, but I also am a community member serving, you know, the city and our police department. And I've got a great amount of investment in that. I think another point to think about is, you know, when we've had some of the talk over the last few years about the defunding police movement and things like that, while I think that the community here in Tucson, to include city leadership, has demonstrated that that's not a narrative that we want to have here in Tucson, or that people are really carrying forward here in Tucson, we do have an opportunity these days to reimagine what a police department looks like and the way that we're doing business. And we're doing that every day. We're really rethinking, how can we do this job better? And in terms of the resources that we're lacking, how can we do it smarter? But if you have an opportunity as a community to reimage or reimagine that community, what better opportunity than to bring forward those people that you would like to police your community? And so we call on community members all the time to, you know, nominate someone, for lack of a better phrase, to, you know, help out in the effort and you know, police the community in the way that you would like to see it policed with the people you would like to see doing it.
I think this would be a good time to mention an event that Colin mentioned to me off air. Are you ready to do that right now?
Absolutely. Yeah. So as part of that, you know, we have a wide variety of outreach efforts. You'll see my recruiting team. There's the Tiny But Mighty recruiting team is what we call them. It's a few officers who do a great job. And so we're constantly in community events. We're constantly out there. One of the big events that we have coming up this Sunday, December 4th, from 2 to 3 p.m., is our Women in Public Safety open house. So that will be held at the West Side Substation, which is 1310 West Miracle Mile. So we lovingly call that ODW, or Operations Division West, right in the main open conference area in the front of the building. Women in law enforcement, women in public safety, you're going to see members of our department of all ranks, of all assignments, and truly that matters to our agency. We have women in the highest ranks to the K-9 unit, to SWAT, and all throughout the department. And so, again, like I mentioned, representation matters. If you want to come out and learn, you know, hey, maybe this job is for me. Maybe I haven't historically thought I could go be a police officer or work in evidence or, you know, become a detective. Well, you're going to meet women that have both done those jobs and are currently in those positions. And you could ask questions. You could, you know, just pick their brain. And I think it's a good opportunity to have a good dialogue. So, again, this Sunday from 2 to 3 at the West Side Substation, 1310 West Miracle Mile. Would love to see you there.
Well, that's a beautiful building. I've done some training events there, and I love hanging out there. It's easy right off the freeway. What percentage of your department sworn officers is female?
So we are about just under 13% currently, and that's right around the average. We're a little bit above average nationally, but we're not anywhere near where we want to be. So, in fact, we're part of the 30 by 30 initiative, and I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No.
But that is a commitment from the department to work towards having 30% women in our public safety team by 2030. And it's a national initiative. We've signed up, and Chief Kazmar is certainly a big proponent of this, where, you know, we're intentionally reaching out to women, showing women, you know, you can do this job, where do you want to work, and really trying to bring us in line with where we should be.
Absolutely. So every department is hiring. I follow a lot of departments on Facebook, and everybody's hiring. Everyone is trying to do the lateral transfers, but the laterals just seem like stealing fish from one fish tank and putting them in another fish tank. And it really doesn't solve the problem about departments being not staffed. And a lot of it is just you're not getting enough applicants. Is that right? Is that what's going on?
That's true. So it's interesting. You know, one of the Assistant Chief Silva and I went to Washington, D.C. a few weeks back to meet with the PERF, which is the PERF group, Police Executive Research Forum. It was a gathering of about 250 police leaders from across the country and Canada, so it had an international flair. Everybody was on the same page in terms of the struggles with hiring, so it's not a regional or a local thing. One of the big points was you keep poaching from each other, and you're just stealing from the same
right,
pool,
right,
like you mentioned. And that's why it's up to us to tell our story. I think, you know, Tucson's very unique. We're a major city, literally, because we're part of the Major City Chiefs Association. We have a great community, a great team in the elected world that supports the police. But we have to tell our story, because the goal is to expand that net, right? Expand that fish pond, like you said, so that we're not trying to take from each other. And I think, you know, we're doing a better job doing that. That's part of our challenge. But to show, look, this pool, this group, you know, come join us, and here's why, and telling
right.
that story. So it's reaching beyond the folks that would have maybe traditionally thought, I'm going to be a police officer and that's it. Now it's going to the university, reaching out to students, saying, hey, you may be studying sociology, but look, you can do that in the police. And in fact, we want you to do that in the police department.
Well, we mentioned that Chief Kazmar. What did he study at college?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I think that Chief Kazmar has a bachelor's in fine arts. And so, you know, people from, you know, mine was in political science, but we have people that were scientists, actual, you know, biologists and such. So there's a wide variety of interests that we have here in the department, and there's a place for everybody. There's all sorts of opportunity in the department.
Is criminal justice the preferred major, or can it be really anything? And when you guys hire on the panels, are you looking for a specific major?
I don't think that there's necessarily a preference to a criminal justice major. I think that, you know, if you're in an oral board or something, you could maybe speak to criminal justice issues. But I think we're really looking for people that are committed to serving their community, that come with a wide variety of diverse experiences, a wide variety of exposures and approaches. And so with that, I think that, you know, diversity in educational background, work background, et cetera, we are open to all sorts of people.
Any success with the JTED program, getting people interested in law enforcement?
Yes, so we do. We work with JTED. We also work with our local high schools in trade education, because I think that really is a good spot to reach these young folks. You can become a community service officer at 18. So we're working with the JTED program in the high schools to show, you know, this kind of straight path into CSO world, if that's what you want to do, which is also a good recruiting pool for the SWORN members or other areas of the department. These young people really get a good, we give access to everything in the department. They have a great understanding of what's going on, and it helps to make sure that there's a good fit for all of us.
Thank you, gentlemen. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. Thank you for listening to Law Matters here on 1030 The Voice.
Were you in the area of the 4400 block of South 7th Avenue at 10 p.m. on July 23rd, 2021? If you have security cameras, you just might have a tip that will help solve the murder that took place there. To stay anonymous, use 88 Crime and upload your video. Si estabas o tienes cámaras de seguridad en la área de 4400 sur de la 7th Avenida a las 10 de la tarde, 23 de julio de 2021, es posible que tengas información que resuelva el homicidio que tuvo lugar ahí. Para permanecer anónimo, use la página 88crime.org y suba su video.
To report suspected human trafficking, please call the National Human Trafficking Resource Center at 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP or INFO to 233-733. To learn more about Homeland Security investigations and our efforts to combat human trafficking, please visit our website at www.ice.gov or check out the DHS Blue Campaign at www.dhs.gov/bluecampaign. For more information on the Southern Arizona Anti-Trafficking Unified Response Network, please visit us at www.saturn.org or find us on Facebook.
Do you have security cameras on your home and live around the 400 block of West Ohio Street? On June 1st, 2021, a murder took place, and you just might have the information we need. To stay anonymous, upload your video to 88 Crime. ¿Tienes cámaras de seguridad en tu casa y vives cerca de la cuadra 400 oeste de la calle Ohio? El 1 de junio de 2021 se registró un homicidio y es posible que usted tenga la información necesaria para resolver este caso. Para permanecer anónimo, sube su video a la página 88crime.org.
Law Matters opens the lines of communication between you and law enforcement. On our next show, Bill Mormon gives us an update on Jerrick Shelvin's appeal. The on-air number is 520-790-2040, so get your questions ready. Please check out Law Matters' sponsorship page at lawmatters1030.org. Maybe you or a company you know would like to join our mission to keep the conversation going. Law Matters podcasts can be found on iTunes, Google Play, and lawmatters1030.org.
Welcome back to Law Matters on 1030 The Voice. This is Brian Watson filling in for our host, Sherry Harrison. Today we are speaking with two officers with the Tucson Police Department, Captain Doug Foster and Captain Colin King. Before we get back into the fun, I do have an announcement to share. A save the date, Saturday, January 14th, for a free human trafficking awareness documentary movie with a Q&A afterwards. That's going to be from 10 a.m. till noon on, like I said, January 14th at the TPD station that we just mentioned on Miracle Mile, the West Station, which is a beautiful building right in the middle of town, easy to get to. So save that date, January 14th. Sherry will definitely be mentioning that again on future programs. I'm going to be back on February 4th with enrolled agent Mark Barnes to talk a little tax law and tax scams. So I have the pleasure of hosting today. but I get to be a guest on February 4th, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. So thank you, Sherry, for letting me fill in today. This is quite an honor, and just hope we live up to your standards. So I'm talking with Captains Foster and Captain King with TPD, and we were at the bottom of the hour, we were talking about hiring and recruiting, and you know, with the defund the police movement, there was a lot of people who just said, you know, it's just not worth it to me to, you know, stick my neck out there. You know, I'm putting my life at risk, and then, you know, this city or this department may not have my back. I might get sued, you know, and everything I do is going to be questioned. You know, what do you tell someone who's hesitant like that? Someone who's in college and said, you know, I grew up admiring police officers. I want to get in the job. But with this environment right now, I don't know if it's worth it. I'm going to go work for some high-tech company or work for a law firm. What do you guys tell candidates like that?
Well, for me, I mean, there's, like I said earlier, there's really been nothing else that I can imagine having done for the last 25 years. And also working for really the premier law enforcement agency in Southern Arizona and Arizona, if not the United States. I mean, we really are on the cutting edge of a lot of the things that we're doing here in terms of our training. We're going to put you out there with the best tools and training and opportunities for success. Never have I felt in my 22 years with TPD that the department, my peers, my supervisors did not have my back. It's a very, you know, supportive environment that's allowed me to have a lot of success and been super fulfilling as I'm looking at retiring here in a few years.
And I'll just add, I mean, that's great, Doug, and I think you're spot on. Let me just add, there's always perspectives, right, out there. I think one of the best ways for these potential applicants, potential employees to find what's really going on is to come out on a ride-along. Again, you just go to jointucsonpd.org or reach out. We're on social media, TPD Recruiting. You could find us online. Reach out. We'll set you up with a ride-along. So you get a feel, a true feel of what, you know, what it's like to serve, how cool this job really is, and how much the community does support the police department. I know there's this disconnect where, you know, the news media or certain sources may say, you know, there's no support or there's no elected support. But when you're actually out in the community, you're actually talking with people. You're talking with the elected officials and seeing their actions, not just words. You see this is a very supportive community overall for law enforcement. It's a great place to work. So come out and actually experience it rather than just read. And that's one of the challenges that we face in recruiting is telling those stories and making sure that portion is seen, because that's probably the most important fact here in the community is, you know, we have a great, great supportive community for all of us.
Yeah, I think, too, you know, prior to this assignment, I was a patrol commander out in on the south side for a little over 4 years. And like Colin says, with the narrative that's out there and some of the stuff in the media regarding, you know, negativity toward police, that really is a minority narrative. When you're out there working with the community members, going to the neighborhood meetings, meeting with the constituents off of ward office complaints and things like that, they truly do support the work that we're doing, and it truly is a partnership and a collaborative effort out there. And so that tone that Colin's talking about of community partnership and community support is truly what's going on out there.
So you're feeling the love in the community.
Absolutely.
Okay, so a lot of times, you know, with social media, those voices can be amplified and may not reflect what's truly going on.
True.
And that's good to hear. During the hiring process, what trips up candidates? What's something that you have a great candidate and for some reason or another they don't make it through? What is it?
Well, it's interesting. So I'm somewhat new in this role. I've been here for almost 6 months, and so I've gone through a couple of the hiring processes now, and there are some commonalities. What I could say to a potential applicant for any of our positions is read the documentation carefully, understand what's being asked, and make sure that you answer everything truthfully, thoroughly, understanding that omission is a problem. Just like telling an overt lie, if you know something that's happened and you're not talking about it, we will find out about it in our background investigation. We have to do that. That's part of the hiring process. So most of the things we could work around, but the problem is, it's not a problem. It's what the expectation is. We want honest, folks that have integrity. The community demands that, and we should have that. So a big issue is if you come in and one of the first steps is you haven't told the truth, that's not going to go anywhere. The other part is make sure that you're following the deadlines and timelines, right? So we'll put that out pretty specifically. You'll have all of the information. My recruiting team and background team will work with you and are there for any questions at any time. But you need to make sure to adhere to those deadlines. And so some of the times we're seeing these applications come in and people forget or they haven't, you know, had time to fill it in and they drop off.
Is drug use a killer?
No, not necessarily. So there are certain factors that you need to consider. Like I said, be honest about it, put it out there, but it is not, it's not an absolute killer for your potential to work in the police department.
So my wife, after going to a recent reunion, had noticed a lot of the guys that were kind of troublemakers in high school ended up being police officers or school teachers. And she just thought that was kind of funny. And I said, well, you know, if you got in trouble a little bit in high school, you know, you got a little street cred, you know how things work and you probably relate with people well. Is there any truth to that where you've seen some guys that maybe have, you know, gotten a little trouble in high school, not terrible stuff, but a little mischief.
Yeah, I think that it goes back to that kind of diversity of experience and exposure and perspectives that people bring to the law enforcement profession. And some of us that may have had, you know, different upbringings and different exposures through our teen years and what have you may have a little more compassion or empathy or things like that based on some of our experiences. So absolutely, I think that if you're look at some of the guys and gals across the agency, there are a lot of us that have a variety of exposure, if you will.
Yeah, but that really makes us a stronger police department, right? And so in really touching on what Doug just said, the diversity of experiences makes a stronger police department. And so having member, there's not one type, if you will, of person that should become a police officer or work in public safety. There are certain things that will disqualify you, but by and large, we're actively looking for that diversity, not only of personnel, but experiences and backgrounds.
All right, everybody, you are listening to Law Matters on 1030 The Voice. I'm here today with Captain Doug Foster and Captain Colin King with the Tucson Police Department. We have a listener who has called in with a question. Steve has a question for the gentleman today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for your service. I used to watch Dragnet and Highway Patrol talk about cop shows. It's just the facts. Give me the facts straight. So I got these neighbors, mainly one instigator, and I've been advised to move, and that ain't going to happen because where will I go? And right now he's being kind of quiet, but I think he's called TBD on me at least a dozen times easily since COVID hit. I think he got locked out and bored. And he fabricates all kinds of things, and because I'm ex-military, he's saying I'm outside waving guns and... It ain't happening. No, I know. I used to run firing ranges 40 years ago. How do you deal with somebody once they spark up, if you understand that question?
Well, I think that, you know, just a matter of patience with the neighbor and attempting to communicate with them reasonably and rationally. If it rises to the level of something that it is a harassment type of situation or something that rises to something that you're concerned of criminally, there are options to involve the police. But I would just say trying to maintain and establish an open dialogue with that neighbor and being rational with them is the first step in having a harmonious neighborhood.
All right. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate the call. Let's continue on with our questions today. Some community members may want to get into a criminal justice career, but don't necessarily see themselves in the traditional police role with a badge and gun. What other opportunities are there to contribute to TPD's success? We touched a little bit earlier, but I want to cover this some more.
Yeah, no, and thank you for doing that, because that's part of our challenge right now is, you know, all positions really contribute to the success of our police department and are valuable to the police department and really the community at large. So yes, we do have sworn members, and that's kind of makes the backbone of the frontline staff. But right alongside of them are community service officers, and they actually are attached, you know, to a patrol squad, work side by side with our sworn members. They do a lot with property crimes. They do a lot with traffic. They do some of the neighborhood meetings. So are essential folks for our operations. We have, if, you know, if you're kind of into science and into, you know, research, we have our own crime lab in Tucson, which is pretty impressive when you look across the country. So there's positions that we're always hiring for in there. So if you want, you know, have a science background, you want to work, you know, with our DNA, like we were talking about, CSI style, that exists in the department. We have records personnel, and, you know, if you want to deal with records and making sure that accurate information is getting out to the public, and you're part of the team getting stuff to court to make sure that, you know, a prosecution is successful, we have that role. And then, like I mentioned, we're also working with our public safety partners in the communications department and in fire. So if maybe, for example, we come up with a really good candidate who wants to serve the community in some way, maybe not with the police department, we'll turn them over to the fire department or communications, and then vice versa. You know, they'll be working with us, because it really takes a whole community to help staff and support this department and our public safety world. We're all working towards the same thing. We all want, you know, a safe community for our families, for our friends, and this is one way to do that. So there's all kinds of opportunities within the department.
Yeah, so most people think of a police department, they think of the sworn officers, because that's the face who's out on the street. What percentage of your department is officers, and what's the other jobs that we just mentioned?
Yeah, so we have about 760 officers right now. So that encompasses everything. So that would be detectives. That goes all the way up to the chief.
Right.
So that's that whole group. We have about 60 in the training pipeline right now. And then we have about 300 professional staff members. And that's everything from, records personnel to crime scene tech to we have a professional staff assistant chief. So there's... like I said, representation matters early on. So you could see, as a professional staff member, you could be a ranking assistant chief or any of these other roles.
Yeah, one of the things that we're looking at currently, and we're actually, I'm headed up to Phoenix to meet with Phoenix PD on Monday, is to talk about a civilian investigator program that they put together earlier this year, and other agencies across the country have done similar things. And so we're looking at how can we bring people who have those investigative skills and talents and maybe job history in a variety of other investigator positions, but they aren't those badge-wearing, gun-carrying types of sworn officers. And so those opportunities are going to be coming in the very near future for people who may want to get actually involved in investigations, but from a civilian position. I think the other thing that we don't emphasize is we are always open for volunteers, and there are a lot of talented community members who are volunteering with our department right now in a number of facets and fashions. So we're always open to volunteers, and I encourage people that are interested in volunteering some of their time to the community through the police department to reach out to our community engagement coordinator, Margo Susco, and see what kind of volunteer opportunities might exist.
I was watching the news last night, and I saw a story on the opening of the new communications center for Tucson Police Department. Why was that needed? And tell us why this thing is so awesome. I watched the story last night. It was pretty impressive, the setup there.
Yeah, I mean, they were in dire need of new accommodations, right? So that is an essential function of our public safety team. The communications department has kind of been in development over the last several years. They're under the leadership of a really talented woman, Sharon McDonough, right now, and her team. This was overdue. I mean, we had dispatchers and call takers sitting in a pretty dark, cramped quarters. What they do is so essential to our functions. They are the first voice on the line when someone calls 911. They have to get, you know, simultaneously get information, the essential information, to the officers through the dispatchers. So making sure they're intaking accurate information, and then at the same time keeping the person calm as possible on the other line, gathering facts that maybe the person's not saying, but you hear in the background, because all of those little pieces of information are essential for a safe response for our officers. So it was very, very cool to see that it finally is open. Like I said, they are central partners in all that we do.
What is the one thing you wish the public knew or realized about your job?
Well, I think, you know, in my own experience, I just want people to know that, you know, not only do I wear this uniform, have I, you know, served in this capacity, but I'm also a citizen of Tucson, and I'm invested in my community and in my city and in the place that I chose to raise my kids and where I want my wife to have, you know, the ability to go safely wherever she may go and this, that, and the other. And just to remember that all of us that are out here doing this job also have an investment in our community, because we are members of the community, and we hope that we are a reflection and an extension of the community.
We have about 9 minutes left. We do have another caller, so we're going to take another call. We have Melinda on the line. Melinda, you're on Law Matters with Captain Doug Foster and Captain Colin King with the Tucson Police Department.
Hi, Captains. Thank you so much.
Good morning.
For your service. I'm calling about a situation that I run into as a court advocate often, okay? Parents whose children are in foster care. There's a man and his wife and the mother of his child in Tucson jail today. They have hard evidence that their child was being abused in foster care. They have a medical document from Children's Hospital in Phoenix. They walked away with him from a monitored visitation to try to get this kid to a doctor. He's very young. He had a brain injury, and it happened while he was in foster care. You know, when a child is missing from foster care, we don't get any Amber Alerts or reports on the news or photographs to look for them. But if a parent tries to save their child from foster care, they spare no expense tracking them down and jailing them. So I'm very concerned about these parents. They're good parents. They were set up by DCS. What is your responsibility when a parent comes to you and says, my child is being abused in foster care? What is your responsibility as a completely separate agency from the Department of Child Safety, who uses you guys to seize children without warrants? And so I'd just like to hear what your responsibility is.
Right. So that sounds like a difficult situation. One of my former assignments was overseeing the investigative units that investigated crimes against children, and those are very challenging investigations just all the way around through our special victims. So what I could say about this, not knowing the particulars or the background of this particular incident, the police department will always conduct its own independent, separate investigation regardless. So if there's a complaint that's brought forward from a member of the community, whether that be an advocate, whether that be a teacher or the parents themselves, we will, investigate that thoroughly. We do partner with DCS on many things, and they're essential for some of the work that we do, but they don't dictate the terms of the investigation, nor can they limit what we're looking into. So if there is a concern like that, definitely bring it forward. It sounds like this was a Phoenix issue. Bring it forward to the police department there, but understand here in Tucson, we will thoroughly investigate all of those complaints and issues internally and independently.
All right. Thank you, Melinda. I appreciate the phone call. We have about 5 minutes left, so we're going to just kind of wrap up with some last minute questions and catch-alls. Gentlemen, I always like to focus on the positive. You know, what is the most rewarding part of the job to you? What sends you home with, like, satisfaction and like a smile on your face?
Yeah, I look back at what kind of drew me to this job when I talk about that school resource officer that reached out to me in high school and kind of exposed me to the job and brought to light that there was an opportunity there that resonated with me. And so one of the parts about my history here that I didn't share was I had always told myself that if I ever got the opportunity to be a police officer, I would like to go and give back and pay it forward, if you will, in terms of being a school resource officer. And so I had the opportunity earlier in my career to do that and to be in the schools and to be embedded in there and to be doing some of our youth programs and youth outreach. That has continued to pay dividends to this day, 20 plus years later, when I have former students of mine who approach me at a grocery store or in a restaurant who now have their toddlers with them, and they talk about the influence that I had in their life and how much they enjoyed having Officer Doug in the classroom with them or at one of our summer camps that we had. And so, again, the opportunity for me to kind of fulfill that desire that I had to kind of give back for what got me into the career to begin with. And then, like I say, it's been paying off years later that I'm still running across people that apparently I had a positive influence on at some point or another in my career.
Any of them working for the department?
Actually, we do have some. You know, prior I was teaching part-time at Pima Community College in their Administration of Justice program, and I had students in there that I would encourage to pursue opportunities with us, and some of them have since come and applied with us and are now community service officers and officers with the department. So, yeah.
That's great. Colin, what about you? What's the most rewarding part of the job? What sends you home with, like, I've done a good thing for this community today?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, and there's always something different every day, but it is 99% of the time going home with a smile on my face. So I mentioned earlier that I was on this diplomatic track working towards, you know, a federal gig, working internationally. What drew me to this job and still is amazing to this day is the fact that you can have an impact multiple times a day, every day, a positive impact on members of our community, working in collaborative efforts with them. That is something you can't replicate in any other job. I mean, you are going to some of the worst calls of somebody's life, but by the end, you have hopefully made it that much better by your presence. And I think that type of service is something that just can't be replicated. And I love that about our job. And so if somebody is interested in that type of work, you know, understanding what service means, giving back to the community. I mean, I'm blessed. I grew up here in Tucson. I'm a Tucson native. I went to Tucson High. And I love this community, and having worked and lived here for so long, I feel truly blessed to be a member of our police department, being able to serve in this capacity. And so if somebody has that drive, that interest in giving back, in serving, we have a place for you in this police department. And so again, I just, you know, we'll give a plug real quick. It's www.jointucsonpd.org, and it has all of the information, all of the types of jobs that we have. And again, hopefully we'll see some of you on Sunday, two to three, this Sunday, December 4th, at the West Side Substation on Miracle Mile for a Women in Public Safety event.
Beautiful. We got the right people doing recruiting for your department, because that's what you want. You want the positive. How can the public support law enforcement in this town?
I think keep doing what they've been doing. You know, I like I mentioned earlier, working out in patrol, I felt nothing but support from our community members and that vocal support, coming to events, being involved and engaged in their neighborhood association or whatever community group may be bringing forward things to work with the police department and being vocal. And so some of the groups that are out there, like this Law Matters and those, they're all important in just putting it out there and doing things to show that there is another narrative in terms of support for police rather than what tends to be prevailing out there these days.
So yeah, we're about 50 seconds left here. What about just walking up to you at QT and saying, hey, thank you for your service?
Yeah, that's one of the best feelings. And I get it every day. You get the thumbs up in traffic. You get the appreciation for what we're doing. Occasionally you get somebody buy your coffee.
Nice. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much. We're going to wrap it up today. Our guests today on Law Matters were Captain Doug Foster and Captain Colin King with the Tucson Police Department. Like I mentioned earlier, Sherry will be back next week. This is Brian Watson, Special Agent with IRS and Public Information Officer, doing my best to fill in. So everyone, be safe. Shop local, as Sherry says. And we'll join us back here next Saturday morning. Thank you very much.
Law Matters opens the lines of communication between you and law enforcement. On our next show, Bill Mormon gives us an update on Jerrick Shelvin's appeal. The on-air number is 520-790-2040, so get your questions ready. Please check out Law Matters sponsorship page at lawmatters1030.org. Maybe you or a company you know would like to join our mission to keep the conversation going. Law Matters podcasts can be found on iTunes, Google Play, and lawmatters1030.org.